Good morning. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church.
May God bless your worship with us today.
Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Welcome to those of you watching this at home. It's the first Sunday in Lent. We have come to the beginning of this penitential season where we do reflect upon our sin and our need for a Savior. And as we do so, though, I don't know if you've ever counted the days of Lent before. They begin on Ash Wednesday, which we just had last week. The 40 days of Lent do not count the Sundays. So we are in Lent today, but we still gather every Sunday as an Easter people. And we know that Easter is coming, and we know the hope and joy of the resurrection. That's how we always gather together as God's people, to celebrate that. Thank you to those of you who have brought your children here to sing in our children's choir. Really appreciate that. We look forward to hearing from them later on in our service as well. We are going to use Divine Service Setting 3 today for our liturgy. That will be found beginning on page 184. And I invite you to please stand as we begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn now to the inside cover of our bulletin, and we speak the words of the introit responsively. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. With long life, I will satisfy him. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. For he will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up. You will tread on the lion and the adder. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. With long life, I will satisfy him. Throughout the season of Lent, we omit our hymn of praise, the Gloria in Excelsis, and instead we will sing hymn 422 on my heart, imprint your image. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day, which is also printed on the inside cover of the bulletin. We pray together. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church, that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the first Sunday in Lent comes to us from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
And now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our Christian faith. And this morning we will confess the Apostles' Creed, which is printed on page 192. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. And the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Congregation may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite all of our children to come forward for the children's message. Thank you. There's so many of you here. Good morning. There's so many of you up here, but that was such a quiet good morning. Good morning!
Good morning,
Pastor Wallenberg. Yeah, there you go. That's more like it. Thank you to those of you who just sang for us, Amazing Grace. What a wonderful hymn that is, and what a blessing it is that you guys got to sing that for us today. So, I wanted to ask you about the first really long reading that we had today from the Old Testament reading all the way back in the book of Genesis. There was a mistake that was made in that reading. What was the mistake, Winnie? Yeah, so Satan, in the form of a serpent, tempted Eve to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that was the tree that God told Adam and Eve that they were not to eat from, right? And so the mistake was that they listened, right? Eve listened, and then Adam also ate the fruit he wasn't supposed to eat, and that was a big mistake, right? Because that has had all kinds of effects and problems and consequences, even for all of us, all these years later. We're still dealing with all of the sin in the world because of that one big mistake. Have you guys ever made a mistake? Have you guys ever made a mistake?
Yeah!
Okay, yeah. See, I think your parents were nodding too, yeah. When you make a mistake, what happens? How do you deal with it? Gavin? Okay, you might get in trouble with your parents, right? What do you think, Fabiana?
I might have to lose my phone until
yeah.
I clean my room.
Yeah, you might lose some privileges. You might have to clean your room or make up for it somehow. Riker?
You have to
mop the floor. Okay, all right. Well, that's fine. So if you make a mistake, sometimes you have to do something to try to kind of make up for it. Maybe you get punished in some way. Maybe another way to handle making a mistake is just by telling the person that you sinned against, you say, I'm sorry, right? And then hopefully they'll say back, I forgive you, right? That's usually how we hope that it'll work in the world, right? That's how we kind of deal with mistakes that we made. I wanted to show you guys, I made a big mistake this morning. You see that? I made a big mistake.
I get it.
Yeah, it says mistake. Get it?
But it's in big letters.
You know what, though? I actually did make a big mistake, and not just the word mistake. Because this is a dry erase board, a whiteboard. I keep this in my office. And it says mistake, but I realized that I used the wrong marker. I made a big mistake, and I used this marker.
No.
What is this marker?
That's a Sharpie.
This is a Sharpie. It's permanent, right? So now, usually when you write on the whiteboard with a dry erase marker, you can get rid of it. But now, I've made this huge mistake. And this huge mistake is not going away. So what are my options? What can I do about this, Teddy? Ah, you know the answer. Okay, so we'll get to Teddy's solution in just a minute. One thing you might do, if you don't know what Teddy knows, one thing you might try to do is just put a lot of elbow grease in it, right? Try to like work as hard as you can. Maybe you'd find some way to... All right, see? But you can still see the letters, right? So it's not going to go away totally, even if I use all of my muscles, right? You could use your hard-earned money out of your piggy bank and go buy a new board and just throw this one away, right? You could decide you're just going to live with the big mistake on your board and just like try to work around it for the rest of forever. Or you can do what Teddy just suggested. You can cover over your mistake So I don't know if you've ever seen this done before. You can take a dry erase marker, an actual dry erase marker, and you can cover over everything that you've written here.
And then you can erase it and it goes away.
It's amazing. Here we go. Ready? All right. That didn't work. Now I made another mistake here. This cap won't come off. All right. We're gonna not touch that because we don't want to ruin the carpet. Okay, that would be a big mistake. But see, look. Look at that. It's amazing! Teddy told us! All right, now I'm doing this upside down and it's not perfect, but that's basically the idea, right? Is that you need to cover it with a real dry erase marker and then the permanent marker will go away. Now, how does this relate to our story with Adam and Eve and the mistakes that we make? Well, we can't undo our mistakes just by doing a lot of hard work. I know that you might get punished for your mistakes or you might have to mop the floor or whatever it is, right? But when we sin, we can't just get rid of our sin with a bunch of our hard work. We can't spend money out of our piggy bank to try to pay for our sins that way, right? And if we try to just live with our mistakes and ignore them, that's not going to work either. What we need is we need our sins covered, our mistakes covered, just like the dry erase marker covered this mistake on my whiteboard. Now, how are our sins covered? With Jesus, right? Yeah, that's the answer, right? Jesus. He came into the world. He lived a perfect life with no mistakes. He died on the cross, and you are covered with his righteousness. That's the only thing that can take away our mistakes. And because Jesus has taken away our mistakes, and because we belong to him and believe in him, guess what? That means we get to live forever. Isn't that an amazing thing? So, thank you guys for coming up here. Let's say a prayer to Jesus. Let's thank him for covering up our mistakes. If you'd bow your heads and fold your hands and repeat after me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for covering our mistakes. Help us to trust in you. All our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you guys so much. You can go back and sit with your moms and dads. Oh, man.
And it takes me forever.
And we will now continue with our sermon hymn number 562.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is the Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 3, where we do hear about the fall of mankind into sin. And not only do we hear about that event, but we also hear about the punishments, the consequences that are laid out for God's creatures, for Adam, for Eve, and the serpent as well. But in the midst of those punishments and consequences, we also hear some good things. We hear the gospel. We hear the good news. We hear that the offspring of the woman will come to crush the head of the serpent. And so we give thanks to God that he has promised to send a Savior, and that Savior has come. His name is Jesus. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I know an old lady who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. Perhaps she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a spider that wriggled and jiggled and tickled inside her. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly, and I don't know why she swallowed that fly. Perhaps she'll die. I know an old lady who swallowed a bird. How absurd! She swallowed a bird! She swallowed the bird to catch the spider. She swallowed the spider to catch the fly, and I don't know why she swallowed that fly. Perhaps she'll die. You thought the children's sermon was over, didn't you? That song goes on for another 4 or 5 verses. I'm going to spare you the rest of it, but I hope that you kind of get the point. The old lady who swallowed the fly is a kid's song that dates all the way back to the 1940s or maybe even earlier. And it's a fun one to sing because it's one of those songs where every verse you add something new, you get to add more animals that you got to remember and you got to rhyme them. And eventually you got this really long string of words in the verses that you got to sing. And it's just one of those fun ones. But in addition to it being a fun song to sing, it also actually has an interesting message to it. There is a moral of the story, if you will. Because in the song, you know, the problem that's presented is obviously the old woman, the old lady has swallowed a fly, which, I mean, okay, that's distressing, but it's not, like, devastating, right? I mean, I hate to break it to you, but scientists do claim that all of us eat flies and bugs all the time without even realizing it. There was an article that I read that says something like the average American consumes like 2 pounds of flies and bugs per year on average. So that's kind of gross, right? So the old lady swallows the fly, and then, okay, so it's in her stomach, and then she could just leave well enough alone, and her body will take care of it. Like, that'd be okay. But in the song, she decides she's going to take matters into her own hands. So then progressively, she's eating bigger and bigger animals, all the way up from, you know, the fly and the spider and the bird, all the way to a horse. And by the time you get to the end of the song, she died, of course. So that's kind of how it ends. At the risk of overanalyzing a silly song like I just did, you could say that the moral of the story is we have problems in our lives, and we can choose how we might try to deal with those problems or fix those problems, erase our mistakes. But we probably ought to pay attention to whether or not the things that we're going to do to fix those problems might actually make those things worse. Because otherwise, perhaps we'll die. That's basically the issue that's going on in our text today, except obviously this is on a much larger scale and has much greater and widespread consequences for all of humanity. This is the first Sunday in Lent, so we're going all the way back to the beginning, to the first most tragic event in all of human history. Genesis chapter 3 describes for us the fall of mankind, the moment when all of a sudden things really started to unravel in God's beautiful creation, and it all starts with this simple mistake, this simple act of disobedience. Adam and Eve decide that they are going to trust in the voice of Satan coming to them through the words of a crafty serpent rather than trusting in the clear voice of the Lord God. It's not like God had been unclear with them about what his expectations were. It's not like they just ate this forbidden fruit out of ignorance and didn't know any better, because we actually know that from the way that Eve is talking with the serpent right at the beginning of our passage today. Right in verse 3, these are Eve's words. She recognizes, God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. So she knew what was going to happen before she did it. Adam and Eve knew what God expected of them, and yet the seeds of doubt were sown into their hearts with those same four little words that Satan so often brings and presents to us, even to this day, those four words that cast doubt on anything God says. Did God actually say? How many times have we been in situations where we knew exactly what the right thing was to do? Where we knew what the God-pleasing thing was to do? Where our consciences were screaming at us to do the right thing, and yet, for whatever reason, those four words pop into our minds. Did God actually say? Did God actually say that I have to forgive that person who has been so nasty and unfair and hurtful to me? Did God actually say that? Did God actually say that I have to honor and respect people who are in government that maybe I didn't elect, that I didn't vote for, that I don't particularly care for, that I think are ruining this country? Do I have to do that? Did God actually say that? Did God actually say that I should be married to the person I'm sleeping with? Did God actually say that? And so on and so forth. I mean, you kind of get the picture. So inevitably, when fallen creatures such as ourselves give into that temptation and we do the thing that we know shouldn't be done, God's word has a way of coming in and exposing that sin through the law. Either directly to ourselves, through our conscience, or maybe through the words of other people around us who see what we're doing, notice our bad behavior, and call us out on it and hold us accountable. Now, when that happens and we become aware of our sin, a healthy conscience that is informed and shaped by God's word and hasn't been seared by sin is going to end up feeling just the way that Adam and Eve felt in this passage: naked and ashamed. So if we look back into this passage then, Adam and Eve have swallowed something worse than a fly. They've swallowed the forbidden fruit. And when you think about that, you know, with everything we know all these years later and all the world history that we have under our belts, you think about all of the sin and destruction and all the terrible things that we witness in this world, in comparison to those things, I mean, eating some fruit that you weren't supposed to eat, I mean, big whoop, right? Like, that doesn't seem like such a big deal. But it's like the old lady in the song who didn't just let nature take its course with the fly. Eventually, things become worse. Sin begets sin. What happens in the garden on that day ends up creating this domino effect that we're still dealing with and messes that we're still trying to clean up to this day, which we could never clean up on our own. And you can see that. You can see the dominoes starting to fall just in the way that Adam and Eve behave immediately following this, right here in our passage. You don't have to go farther than verse 7, right? The first thing they think they're going to do is they're going to undo the shame that they feel by taking some fig leaves and sewing them together and making some loincloths. And then in the next verse, in verse 8, they get this idea that they're going to be able to hide somehow from the omniscient God of the universe. And then a few verses later, verses 12 and 13, now they're playing the blame game, right? So Adam blames Eve, Eve blames the serpent. Each one of them is trying to deflect, and they're trying to get God to look elsewhere and not at them, and it all ends up backfiring on them. And so basically what happens is from that point forward, the reality is that human beings have never been able to actually restore ourselves and reclaim that perfect holy status as the only creatures God made in his image. Try as we might, we can't cover up all of our sins on our own. It's not possible for us to do that. And actually, any attempt to do that on our part just kind of makes us look silly. As silly as Adam and Eve look in this passage. It's like the toddler who goes like this and thinks you can't see them. Not that that's ever happened in my house before. That's what Adam and Eve are doing. They're hiding behind a tree from the God who knows everything. This is what sin does to us. So, okay, is that it, right? Another depressing Lutheran Lenten sermon, amen, off we go, right? Well, of course not, because there's more to this passage than just the devastating fall of humanity. And we do actually get to hear some good news today. In fact, we get to hear some really, really good news in this passage. As the Lord starts pronouncing these punishments and these consequences to each of his different creatures, and he starts with the serpent, who we understand to be Satan himself. So the Lord is speaking to Satan as he says these things. He proclaims in verse 15 something that theologians call the protevangelium. There's a $5 word for you. Protevangelium. You can kind of hear the word evangelism or evangelical in that word. So anytime you hear that, that's related to the gospel, the good news of salvation. Proto means first. So when you put that together, protevangelium, that just means this is the first good news. This is the first gospel that we get to hear in the scriptures, right? And when he says that good news, here's what it is, that the woman's offspring is going to come and crush the head of the serpent. That someday, many, many years later, a child would be born whose sinless life and sacrificial death would finally be enough to cover up all of our sins, all of these mistakes, all of the things that we could never possibly cover on our own. In other words, God promises already here, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, that he is to send a Savior, the Son of God and the Son of Man, who would reverse the curse and destroy the power of death, restoring all of humanity, covering us up with his blood, covering us up with his righteousness, so that Jesus then takes away all of our nakedness and all of our shame and all of this feeling like maybe we need to hide from our Creator because he's so holy and we're not. Jesus takes that all away from you and from me. And then, fast forward to the very end of this passage, and you see how God actually gives, in a way, a guarantee of this amazing promise that he has just made in verse 15. And I know it seems like such a small thing, such a small gesture, but what the Lord God does in verse 21, right at the top of the second column, if you're following along in the bulletin, what he does in verse 21 is huge. He takes those silly-looking fig leaf loincloths that Adam and Eve made, and he replaces them. He takes them and replaces them with clothes made of skin, animal skins, proper clothing that can actually cover them up, proper clothing that will actually protect them as now they're going to have to live away from the paradise of Eden. And when God does that, he shows us just how much he still loves his creatures. just how much he still loves us human beings, even though we made a really big mistake. How much he's still willing to care for us. And he hasn't stopped yet, because any one of us, if given the chance, could name example after example from our own lives of ways that God has been kind and merciful to us in spite of all the mistakes that we've made, in spite of all of our faults and failures. We may not be walking around wearing animal skins like Adam and Eve, but we do have a guarantee. In fact, we've got the greatest guarantee of all. We've got Easter. We've got the promise of the resurrection. Because Jesus came and died and rose again, we know that the serpent's head really has been crushed for good. So there's no more need for us to have to hide from God. And there's no more need for us to try to swallow a dog because we want it to capture the cat, to catch the bird, to catch the spider, to catch the fly. In Christ alone, we will not die. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. We turn out of the bottom of page 192 and we sing together the words of the offertory. You may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Thank you. Just a couple of updates for you for our prayers today. Today we are praying for Orville Obermeyer. He was hospitalized this past week. He had a virus in his lungs that he's been fighting. But he is back home and now recovering, thanks be to God. We continue to pray for the family of Laura Smith. That would be Sam and Linda's daughter. Her funeral was this past Tuesday. And we also today will remember the family and friends of Louise Dinkelman. That would be the aunt of Lou Ann Grody. She passed away on Tuesday. Her visitation and funeral will be held tomorrow at Trinity Lutheran in Nashville. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you sought Adam and Eve in the garden and called them to repentance. Seek us when we wander from your holy word and give us contrite hearts to confess our sins and receive the forgiveness and restoration you promise us. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, your Son trampled the serpent underfoot and freed us from sin and death by his own death on the cross. Protect and preserve all called to preach Christ and him crucified. Command your angels to guard them in all their ways and bear them up for the sake of Jesus. Bless those who serve the kingdom as our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic and our circuit congregation, St. Luke's Lutheran in Covington, and their pastor, Tim Miller. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you created the home as a place where we are brought up in the ways of truth, goodness, and mercy. Sustain parents in their sacred charge, and grant that our homes would be places of confession and forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you have established earthly authorities to punish evil and praise those who do good. Grant our rulers humble hearts to resist the allure of power and to worship you alone. Use your angels to protect those who serve in the military, including especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Mark, and Jalen. May they each continue to look to you for all good in their lives. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise for the blessings of our earthly lives and for your constant merciful provision. And we rejoice today with those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Bob, Tana, Mason, Norman, and Maverick. Help them each to grow in love for you and for their neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, send your holy angels to protect and keep us in your ways, that no evil may befall us. Graciously behold the needy, the sick, and the troubled, and especially all who have requested our prayers, including all who are in care facilities, Thretta, Marlene, Norman, Bill, Jim, and Brian, and all those with ongoing health needs, especially Ray, Daryl, Joan, Bobby, Marlene, Amy, Patrick, Laureen, Beulah, Carolyn, Doug, Roy, Verdell, Dorothy, Wayne, Corey, Mike, Orville, Michael, Linda, Sam, Butch, Brighton, Shoey, Judy, Brinley, Brent, Bill, Delmar, and all those who are fighting cancer. We also lift before you those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Laura Smith and the family and friends of Louise Dinkelman. Bless them and comfort them with the hope of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us a refuge from the world in the body of Christ. Protect us from all evils of body and soul, that we would find rest in this life and eternal rest in your heavenly embrace. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is number 727 on Eagle's Wings. My microphone just kind of fell out of my pocket there. Can you all still hear me? Okay. Good morning. All right. There are a few announcements for us. Tonight, men's choir is rehearsing, so guys will get together in the balcony at 6. Tomorrow, the chimes are practicing. And then we have mixed choir meeting at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Now, Wednesday, don't forget, we still have our midweek Lenten worship services, and we are doing those in rotation. This week, we will hear from Pastor Jim Hennig, who is the new pastor in Centralia. I'm guessing a lot of you have not yet met him or heard him preach before, so he will be here this coming Wednesday. His topic, as we do his final steps, we're talking about Jesus' final steps on the way to the cross. This week, it's his final steps led to his Father's house. So please come and join us Wednesday at 7 for that worship service. Just a reminder that there is no women's Bible study throughout the season of Lent. That will resume after Easter. And this coming Wednesday, we are also planning, as soon as the worship service ends, we are planning to have a planning meeting for Vacation Bible School. Some of you we've talked to already about coming to that meeting, but if you are interested in helping us plan Vacation Bible School for this coming summer, please consider joining us. We're going to have that meeting right here in the sanctuary right after the church service ends, so about roughly 8 o'clock or so. That'll be the start time for the meeting this coming Wednesday. Just an initial informational meeting and just kind of a brainstorming opportunity, so please come and consider joining us for that. We'd really appreciate it. Coming up next weekend, the annual YPS Short Stuff Shootout will be happening this coming Saturday, and Hoyleton's team gets to play the bookends. So we will play the first game at 9:45 in the morning, and we will play the last game at 6 o'clock in the evening, and it will be a whole day full of basketball in between. So you're invited to come and cheer and buy some concessions and support the youth group through the Short Stuff Shootout. So place that on your calendar. Coming up 2 Sundays from now, there will be a senior social event on Sunday, March 12th. That will be right after the church service that day over in the Activity Center. There is a sign-up sheet in the narthex. And if you haven't signed it yet, but you're planning to come, please let us know. We'd really appreciate that. I think those are all the ones I wanted to highlight. I'm going to invite Mr. Schaff to come and do the school minute, since it is the fourth Sunday of the month. And there's a microphone right there for you, Mr. Schaff.
All right. Let's see if it works. Does it work? All right. There we go. Thank you. All right. First of all, I'd like to thank the third through eighth grade students for singing this morning. Singing. Hopefully not. Yeah. Please give them a hand. I don't know if you noticed, they were singing harmony up there, so I think that's pretty cool. And thank you for Mrs. Tiemann for directing them, and their accompanist, Mrs. Pam Newhouse, so thank you for doing that. Give her... I was going to make some comments about the sermon, but I'll do that afterwards. Anyway, still stuck on 2 pounds of insects a year. Sorry
about that.
But I remembered the gospel is awesome. Okay. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who came to the history fair on Thursday night. Students did a nice job. Some of you in our congregation were there, so that was awesome. Lots of parents. Some of you shared your memories of history too. Some of you remember when President Kennedy was shot, when the attempt on Ronald Reagan and what was interesting is Barbara Walters and Martin Luther King Jr. and Anne Frank were all born in the same year. It's kind of interesting. So History Fair is good, and you can see how God has blessed us through the history that we were able to study. We have a spelling bee tomorrow night. Yes, spelling bees, we still do those here. After COVID, they kind of killed it, but we have 2 students representing our school, Joe Meyer and Jace Brammeyer, and they will be spelling wonderful words. A couple examples are weird. I looked up the most misspelled words, separate and maneuver. Kind of tough words. So anyway, we'll see if they have any of those tomorrow night. Our girls' volleyball team is doing well. Lord blessed him with a second place finish in a tournament we had a few weeks ago. And our basketball teams are wrapping up some games. We have some fifth grade basketball games, and we had a seventh grade tournament. And track will be starting soon in March. Yesterday, Mrs. Tiemann took two of our students, Joe Meyer and Ellie Kasten, to music contest. And they got to perform there, and they did some vocal pieces, a piano and a flute, and they did very well. They got superiors. Is that what they're, I think it was superiors, right? Yeah, awesome. And last but not least, we are planning, making plans for next school year. We will have our preschool and kindergarten open house and registration starting on March 23rd. It's a Thursday. So if you know anyone who's interested in getting a wonderful education, we've been blessed, let them know, have them call the office to get more information. They need to be at least 3 years old by September 1st and potty trained. Anyway, that's all I have. Lord's blessings on your day. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schaff. Did I forget anything? Are there other announcements today? Okay, if not, go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
We hope to see you next week. Have a blessed week.
Thank you.